Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Techno Electric & Engineering Limited, hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involves risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectation, projections, etc., whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statement and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Steven. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 4Q and FY22 earnings conference call of Techno Electric & Engineering Company Limited. We have with us today Mr. P.B. Guptaji, Managing Director, and the senior management team representing the company. I request Shri Guptaji to take us through an overview of the quarterly and the yearly results for the financial year FY21-22, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, Guptaji. Thank you.
Yeah. Very good afternoon to each one of you to discuss our financial results for the last quarter, Q4, ending 31st March, and our financial results for the year ending March 2022. Anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or that could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that industry faces and which in turn is applicable to the company too. Let me quickly highlight our performance for the Q4 financial year 2022. The total revenue stands at 307.5 crores, up by 43% year-on-year, and revenue for EPC stands at 304 crores against 212 crores last year, up by 43.32% year-on-year. EBITDA margin for the EPC division is at 13.13% compared to 15.12% last year. Revenue from wind segment is at 3.5 crore. EBITDA of the company stands at 39.20 crore compared to 18.96 crore in the same period last year. Operating profit in the EPC segment for the quarter is at 39.58 crore compared to 31.72 crore last year. We experienced some pressure in the EBITDA margins due to prevailing inflation and high commodity pricing cycle and also higher overseas freight. The other income is at 3.08 crore. The profit before tax was at 31 crore nearly against 15 crore for the last quarter. The PAT for the quarter is at 37.2 crore compared to 13 crore last year. That is up by around 200%. EPS is at 3.39%. For the whole year, if we look on it, the revenue is at 1,074 crore compared to 889 crore, up by 21%. Revenue from EPC is at around 990 crore compared to 790 crore, up by 25%. EBITDA margin is at 15.58% compared to 18% last year. Revenue from wind segment is at 85.63 crore compared to 64.15 crore last year. Considering the adjustment for the one-time revenue of 36 crore because of the tariff order, the turnover in the books was around 100 crore. EBITDA for the company stood at 222 crores, up by 3%. As stated earlier, the same is also influenced by the one-time WIT segment income of 35 crores. The operating profit for the EPC segment is at 53.5 crore compared to 143 crore last year, up by 7%. EBITDA for WIT segment is at 68.96 crore. And the other income is at 150 crore compared to 84 crore last year, which includes a profit out of the sale of the JV company of rupees 110 crores. Similarly, other income for the previous year too included a profit from the sale of a transmission asset in Haryana for rupees 45 crore. The profit before tax is at 326 crore compared to 250 crore last year, up by 30%. And the profit after tax stands at 260 crore compared to 200 crore last year, up by 30%. EPS is at 23.7. Roughly. The current investment value, including cash and cash equivalents, is at around 1200 crores, that is more than rupees 100 per share. We have received various orders totaling rupees 800 crore in the current year up to March 22. We were L1 in two FGD orders worth 1600 crore in Rajasthan, and also various transmission orders at 445 crore, which stands as confirmed order as of now. Unexecuted order book as of 31st March 2022 is 1500 crore. This gives a visibility of order book as of today of more than 3500 crore. We are further L1 in the business to the extent of about 1000 crore. This is first time we are able to achieve an order backlog of around 4,000 crores after almost 5 years. This will help in doubling the top line in next 3 years and more. As committed in last quarter, we have been able to tide over the difficult times, I will say, and shown growth in this year. So this, I would like to classify that this is a recovery year by and large, and going forward 22-23, we look upon as a growth years, stabilizing cup growth years. But major growth will happen in the second half of the in the coming year. We expect large business growth in FGD segment, AMI segment, in data centers. In the coming years, we see strong power sector reforms as power and energy coverage. Additionally, there is a significant focus and stress on efficiency, stability, reliability, power supply, cost of power, improvement on the financial health of the DISCOMs, but presently it continues to be a challenge. The focus will continue to be on renewable power and related transmission infrastructure and energy storage infrastructure. The transmission infrastructure for renewable power is required to be 500 megawatt as committed in Glasgow Convention by our Honorable PM, and additionally 25 to 30 gigawatt of energy storage solutions at grid level are being proposed to be developed over the next 5 years. The FGD segment continue to be strong and focused in the this year and in the near future. As per Godi's notification of Government of India, all coal-fired thermal power stations aggregating more than 200 megawatt need to limit their sulfur emission. SOX, NOX both as notified by Pollution Department by December 24. There is a considerable progress with CPSU, and now we see more progress with these SCBs, also. And in the coming years, we definitely expect more business from SEBs, CPSUs, and private sector. We have recently received two orders worth 1600 CR, which were L1 last year, and we are again L1 in an order with DVC of 700 CR, which got re-tendered after first about last year. This level of business will continue for next 3 to 4 years, as 80 gigawatt is yet to be ordered out. The transmission system segment, we see a status quo in the transmission side because the sector is primarily limited to now renewable power evacuation. The TBCB bidding of 66 gigawatt is in progress, and out of that about out of 175 gigawatt, and this is in progress. We are happy to state that we have already received two orders in last month or two from Adani for whatever concessions they want at Khavda as well as at Karur. And we also plan to bid in TBCB packages to the extent of 1500 CR in partnerships. The allocation for strengthening power system has been doubled to 29.8 billion in union budget of the current year. We see good interest from large investors in wind funds to participate in above bids by making the company a significant partner. This will enhance our access to capital, and this will also enable us to be competitive in bidding. The PMDP programs and the metering AMI segment is progressing steadily. This segment will see a lot more interest in the coming years. The main aim of government is to improve efficiency and contain losses so that the health of DISCOMs could be improved. We are keen to work as EPC in this segment more than as a DBFOT. Because we are afraid at the moment that the risk working with DISCOMs as counterparty is relatively high, as experienced by us as a GENCO. We have been reading in the media and strongly believe that amendment to Electricity Act, dairy policy, and elimination of cross subsidy, etc., are in the pipeline, and they may happen soon. We do believe that the sector is at a critical junction, and definitely in every sector in India in crisis, good things start happening. So we should expect some good news here also. Wind segment. We have received our payments up to June 22, and we have also been favored by a Madras High Court order to claim our interest dues, all outstanding interest dues by the end of June 22, and we are hopeful of getting these payments now. The data center, I will say that the COVID has already stated, the COVID has impacted our life in multiple ways, but one positive outcome is the growth in the digital space. With the growth of digital space backed by IT policies and on data privatization, it is expected that the third-party data center in the industry are likely to be around 5 gigawatt in next by 2030 and 2 gigawatt by 3 years from the existing 500 megawatt capacity. Till date, most of the data centers are located in Mumbai and Chennai, and we are also in Chennai, very close to Airtel, Adani, Equinix, SIFI are already in the process of setting up the data centers very close to our data center at Sirisuri. This further validates our choice of the location as a first force. our techno, we are in an advanced stage of setting up of this data center of 40 megawatt of grid load at 24 to 25 megawatt of IT load and the ultra scalable hyper density, for which construction work has already started at site. And all statutory clearance for the project have been received. We are hopeful of getting first phase ready by June 23. We will also captively consume the wind energy for this data center, so that it's a green data center to align with the policy of major hyperscale customers because of their ESG commitments. With capex of rupees 1200 crores and rupees 40 crore per megawatt of IT load, the 65% is almost in the domain of the techno-electric, which is largely of the character of electromechanical works, energy storage works, standby energy solutions, which is an in-house capability of the company, as we'll be able to leverage the expertise. We have further been favored by allocation of land in West Bengal at Kolkata, in a place called Silicon Valley, along with TCS and Reliance, to set up a data center. We are also like to have a 250 megawatt capacity by 2030, as already committed. With this, I will say, now I open the forum for any further details, clarifications, your welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Tulsiyan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon, sir.
Sandeep.
So first question is on the order inflows, mainly if you could give a little bit more color. Basically, our order inflows were close to 500 crores in first 9 months. And the way our order book has declined on a year-on-year basis from 1950 crores to 1500 crores, we are not able to reconcile it with this 800 crore order inflow. So does this 800 include some L1 orders that you have stated?
No. These are all orders received in hand by now, sir, as of 31st March 22. And thereafter, we have further received orders worth 2,045 crores in last 2 months. So the order opening for the year was at 1,600 crore. We booked new business worth 800 crore and executed around 1,000 crore. The closing is as of March end. The closing is at almost 1,400 crore.
14 or 1,500, sir?
14 or 15, whatever you take, 40, 50, in between 40, 50 to 1,500. But thereafter, we have further received business worth 2,000 plus. So the total order backlog as of date is 3,500 crore.
Understood. More so on that, just want to understand from a pipeline perspective, say we have received orders of 2,500 crores in addition to 800 crores what we have bid. Now going forward, how should we look at the further orders which are there in the pipeline and which can get booked in the balance of FY23 and 24? And if you can give more color on what should be the portion of T&D, FGD, as well as the smart metering, broad guidance on those lines, please.
Sir, I've already more or less made some statement that transmission status quo will continue, and this will continue to contribute a top line of about 600 CR for us year on year. Another 300 to 400 CR we should see out of the AMI and EMDP, that is the system strengthening solutions, year on year. And additionally, we should see a top line of another 1,000 CR out of the FGD segment now. So in the next 3 years, we definitely see our top line doubling. And our aim is to, I should be say, wish or a remark, whatever 3 years we lost, something we have lost, now we have to make up. So in next 3 years, we see our top line definitely doubling. Order intake will continue to be at no less than 3,000 crore a year. And I trust by the time we close this year, the order backlog may be 4,000 CR, and next year it should be 5,000 CR plus. So major growth in business will happen in FGD, it will happen in data centers, as well as it will happen in the metering side.
Okay. So, okay, understood. Second question, sir, is on the data center side. We highlighted earlier that the capex is going to be 1,200 crores for the data center, as well as there will be a separate battery storage system, which would probably require some additional capex. So if you could highlight how much additional amount that will be that the company will be funding towards this battery storage systems.
See, please do not confuse. One is a battery storage solution to be deployed within the data center, and one is at a, as a grid backup solutions, additionally like transmission on a move-to-move basis in the country. So as far as our data center is concerned, there will be no increase in capex because it will be by and large replacing the some portion of the UPS site at some portion of the captive power site, because this will be acquiring a power layer in between two of them to stabilize the power supply to the data management, data load, basically. So we will like to squeeze this in with no additional capex as well as data center is concerned. And the amount of solution deployed may range anywhere from maybe 10 MVH. By and large, that is what we begin. But if the affordability improves over the time in next 6 to 9 months, then maybe we can think of even little bigger as against DG6 additionally. So we will do some technology balancing as we go along, but I can assure you it will be a data center, futuristic data center for tomorrow. And stay technologically relevant for 5 years from now. It will be a boutique data center.
Okay, so what is the capex that we are wanting to deploy in data centers in FY23 and 24, and also separately on battery storage, the grid backup battery storage, what will be the business model there, and what can be the capex that we'll deploy over there?
By and large, you can take, coming to data center side, we have by now spent about 50 CR already on acquiring land and the related approvals, consultancy, design, statutory approvals, and whatever construction work has already happened. During 22-23, we intend spending up to 500 CR and another 500 CR in the year 23-24. But that may be advanced depending on the interest in occupancy levels of the data centers, number one. As well as the grid backup is concerned, this business is still, I will say, in the evolving stage, as well as the grid backup is concerned. But we see a great future going forward in this business. At the moment, these grid large-scale solutions are still not very affordable, I would say. like pumping solutions or hydro solutions or even a gas-based power generating solutions to create a kind of a peak load stabilization solutions. So we will wait and watch. At the moment, in next 1 year, we are not envisaging any capex on grid-backed battery storage solutions. So our focus will be mostly on data centers. In 23-24, we may have one more data center in construction, in addition to the one already in construction. So that will be additional capex. So on 23-24, on the ongoing data center, the capex is 500 crore. Plus, if a new data center starts, that may also have a capex of another 300-400, 250 to 300 crore.
So what is the equity commitment? Because our understanding was that we will probably wait for a partner to come in place and only then start deploying this money, because the equity commitment you had mentioned in earlier calls will be restricted to 250 crores or some 300 crores in that ballpark.
You are absolutely right. It will be like that only, sir. We have strong interest already from the many entities rather on this partnership. And we are very hopeful to crystallize it by September. Otherwise, also, we have to fund from our own resources. It will be up to 500 CR of this year, which comprises of 250 CR of equity and a balance through the loans, temporary short-term loans, to be replaced by the partner when he moves.
And one last question from my side. Is on this cash balance and the capital allocation policy of the company. You had mentioned that now 1200 crores is the total free cash that the company has, and it can generate at least 100 crores of other income every year. So how much of this cash do you plan to deploy in existing business, which is predominantly data centers, and how much do you plan to pay out to investors in whatever form, a dividend or pay, buyout?
You can allocate it like 500 CR for data centers, 500 CR for investors over next 2 to 3 years, and another 200 CR to the EPC business.
Understood. Sir, I'll come back in the queue for the other questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Garg from PPIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand that in FY23, sir, in the EPC division, sir, what kind of top line are we looking at?
Without considering the data center, the EPC work, which Techno may perform, from the conventional side, you can expect about 1300 CR, a growth of 300 CR over last year.
Okay, sir. And sir, also you mentioned in the last call that very soon we will hear something about the share buyback. So is that still under consideration?
Share? What did you say?
Sir, yeah. Share buyback.
You will hear very shortly, sir. I have just now answered to Mr. Tulsia that 500 CR is allocated to the investors. That will go mostly in the form of buyback only.
Okay,
year on year, and, sir, we intend carrying out buyback for next 2-3 years.
Right, sir. And, sir, even though last year our EPC income increased from 790 crore to almost 1,000 crore, sir, our operating profit in this segment was almost flattish, around 152 crore versus 145 crore year before. So going forward for FY23, sir, can we expect some margin improvement or margins will continue to be under pressure?
Sir, I will expect you to get it. You are still outperforming the industry with given inflation level, commodities all-time high. They are all impacting, you know, the cost with us also. And definitely we are seeking some kind of reliefs with our customers in passing on some part of the cost to them. As a PV or as a revision in prices. So this is an ongoing challenge between you and me. Already steel prices have softened a bit. after government act a week back by 10 rupees a kg. We further expect softening happening. But till global inflation slows down, I don't think much is going to happen in near future, at least not for a year more. So I think this year we should not expect very high rise in EBITDA, which may be at around 13 to 13.5% by year large, or maybe 12.5 to 13.5%.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
We are able to pass on more cost to the customers.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Bhandari from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
So thank you for taking my question. You mentioned that on the smart metering side, you're looking more at now the EPC route rather than investing yourself. So can you give an idea about what sort of tender pipeline is there, or what sort of bids are expected to come out in this space?
Well, we are expecting almost about tenders over next 2 years for about 15 million meters in EPC space by Power Grid and REC, basically, by and large. Power Grid will be coming out with 8 to 10 million, and REC should float tenders for another 5 to 7 million in EPC route. So we will be aspiring to acquire at least half a million meter work out of this pipeline, as Power Grid is our old customer, well known to us by processes. So we are hopeful of achieving more success. And if government mandates more CPSU to carry out metering work, that will be very, very exciting and opportunity for Techno.
And given that you have you are executing the J&K order, you have all the necessary pre-qualifications, right?
Absolutely, we are fully qualified, sir. Even otherwise, given our background in power sector, sir, each customer is willing to follow what Techno can meet the QR. QR is not a challenge anymore in any aspect of the power business.
So one more question from about competition which will come. Given that there will be perhaps be multiple companies which will be looking to work with Power Grid and REC on this metering side, given that you will not directly be interfacing with the states and the payment risk will reduce, do you think that you can achieve your normal margin range of around 14-15% in this business?
A $1 million question, but let me be honest. It depends on the mix of the program to be carried out. If metering plus some power strengthening solutions are integral part of the package, then yes. Only meter also, I will say that most of the non-metering companies are fairly booked today with the states already on the DPR40 model. So there will be a space for us to work with little less known meter manufacturers or solution providers in this space, and that market should be available. We should have a space to add value. You see, in EPC space, you please understand, the margin do not come out of the basically what padding you have done in the pricing. It more comes out of by your efficiency and avoiding wastages. Once we get an order, it all becomes a loss management game more than profit management game to us. As little loss you incur, more profit you make, sir, at the end of the day. That is how this business goes, and we have successfully practiced over the last 20 years. So I see no reason why we should not be able to repeat in meeting also.
Okay. And so one last question on the FGD orders which you've recently received. These would be at the new at the current commodity price levels, right? There would not be any thing which you'll have loss which you'll have to take for the price increase which has already happened.
Absolutely, sir. You are perfectly right. rather market and most of our investors have not understood our strategy of not picking up business last year. It was only this fear of wars, uncertainty, challenge conditions, and so much of economic issues prevailing all around that the business was, EPC business is a very, very challenged business in any uncertainties. So definitely you are perfectly right, sir. Our new business is commodity prices and no hangover of the past. And it is almost based on no less than 1 crore per megawatt now. That is the cost of executing these solutions, not 60, 70 lakhs anymore.
Got it, got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back in it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand something on the revenue mix side. Now, over next 2 to 3 years, how do you see your revenue mix changing, especially from the data center side? So some trajectory on the revenue scale-up in data center side over next 3 to 4 years, yeah, that would be quite helpful.
Yeah, you see, data center is a little bit-top business, I will say. You have to create a capacity. It works more like a rental proposition, like unitary charges in case of transmission assets year on year. The prevailing rate is $90 to $100 per kilowatt or per KVA charging basis. I will say that this top line will start getting influenced only from 23-24, but it will be more strongly visible from 25-26 onwards, when this income may be almost around 20% over our bottom line, or top line, sorry. And maybe almost, you can say, 30% of the bottom line. As you are seeing in our grid segment or transmission assets.
FY26, 20% of the top line. So largely 500 crores by FY26 data center revenue. Is
absolutely.
That
25-26. We can expect 500 crores
By FY26. Okay. Yeah, that's about it.
Mr. Poddar, you have any other questions?
No, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rahul Modi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, one question I had on how are you seeing the market in transmission ordering picking up for the green energy corridors? Because last 2 years, due to various issues such as inflation and commodity, the bidding pipeline, which was already there, almost 40,000 crore, we saw that not being materialized meaningfully. So how do you see that over FY23 and 24 coming through? And secondly, sir, on the FGD orders, I believe the Power Ministry is again requesting to push the date further in terms of implementation. So do you see any slowdown due to that, or you are confident that the balance 80,000 megawatt will come in over the next couple of years? Thank you.
You see, as predicted earlier discussions also over many calls, deferring a date definitely helps us because business becomes more spread over longer period for us. And we expected that this market should stay till 27-28, and 24 will not be the end of it, as we also cannot deliver more than 3 to 4 solutions at a time. So this helps us also. And the total business as projected, as I stated earlier also, which is left over is 80 gigawatt, and which is roughly around 80,000 crores in our perspective. And if we take it as 15,000 CR every year, Techno will be keen to book a business of around no more than 1,500 CR every year out of this lot. So we definitely see this business to carry on for next 5 years as we are planning, and it should continue to give us a top line of 1,000 CR for next 5 years. And similarly, over next 3 to 4 years, data center will start adding another 1,000 CR, whereas transmission distribution will also continue to add another 1,000 CR. So in next 3 years, we definitely see our top line growing to double of what we are now. And we won't be surprised if we touch 5,000 CR by 2030. That will be our mission statement.
Sure, sir. So last question from my side. Do you see margins in FGD? We've seen across the board margins being very low. Do you see we bottomed out as a sector for the FGD in execution in terms of margin overall?
No, sir. You see, the question is like your stock market, when you enter and when you exit, that defines the margin, sir. So in FGD, the entry point is very important, and doing a job in time is very important, so that your costs are properly hedged and protected, which is relevant in any EPC business, of course. You cannot lose out your value added through losses or inefficiencies. So we will like to time, generally Techno have never believed in carrying a order backlog more than double, because generally our each project takes around 2 years, 2 and a half years to complete. So our order backlog will never be more than 2 to 2.5 times of the top line. That's how we plan. This 3 year stagnation has definitely pushed us back, but the order backlog has shrunk to no more than 1 to 1.5 times, but in hindsight, it looks it was a blessing that pushed because of this inflation and commodity cycles. So going forward, we will restore this to 2 to 2.5, and entering at the peak of the commodity always is beneficial to the EPC side, EPC players, because you are always safe from the future threats.
Sure, sir. Thank you, and all the
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Podar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So, sir, regarding data centers on the EPC side, if some more clarity, whether you have already started, bidding for work outside your own data centers. And then on your own data centers, you highlighted about work going on in the first one and second one possibly coming in. So what is the plan there in terms of how much EPC work should we expect in 2023-24? And beyond two, would you also go for third or fourth, or how the capital allocation will be decided there? And so the last question on data center is, if you get a profitable exit, would that be the case, or you would want to carry it on your books?
Let me restate my position as of today. Of course, it can be improved if it improves rewards, which is part of our business to deliver better rewards to our stakeholders, investors. Firstly, we intend doing 250 megawatt as of today as our target by 2030, sir. That is what we have put target to ourselves. So 250 megawatt will also mean around 5 to 6 stations by and large. Firstly, 1 year we will definitely like to invest and learn and perfect our concepts and technologies in our own data center before we go to the market. So definitely up to June 23, we are not going to the market for any EPC work. So only post June 23, having made one data center operational, we will start looking for third-party business also, in addition to work of our own, developing our own data centers. It will be, like a transmission business of ours, by and large, as a mirror image. We have been developing, acting as an EPC to state utilities, central government utilities, private utilities, and also developing assets of our own. And once the revenue stream is stabilized, taking exit in it. So in data center, the trajectory, although we have in mind, but how it will get navigated, I don't want to be very, very precise on it, because we will try to do our best as a best reward to the investors. At the moment, we are only looking on a investor at a given data center basis, not at a holdco level between you and me.
Understood, sir. Very clear. Just this 250 megawatt target by 2030. So does that mean that we would be building 250 megawatt by 2030 and maybe all of that will be not our, in our books?
Or absolutely. Absolutely. Right, sir. Okay. We'll be developing that and maybe in books, maybe at that time 150, maybe 160, like that. And half of that, we must, 100 megawatt, we will definitely have exited out.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Mehta from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand the cost economics of a data center that you are putting up. If you can help me understand that.
Yeah. What precisely you want to understand?
No, so as in the capex cost is about 45 crores per megawatt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 40 and crores, 40 to 45 you can take.
Right. And then, you know, how much revenue and EBITDA do you think you can make from these data centers? In case if you're not able to offload it, then how does it fit into the business parameters for you?
Then you can take roughly around 10 CR per year per megawatt.
Okay. That will be the revenue, you mean to say?
Revenue. That is the rental charges, rental cost, you can say.
Right, so 10 crores per megawatt.
Center of 25 megawatt, say 250 CR.
Okay, got it. And EBITDA would be approximately how much in this? So this will be all automated. So.
EBITDA will be almost 80% of it, sir.
Right.
Because power remains a pass-through cost in operations.
Correct. Okay, got it. And the other question which I had was, like you mentioned, that you would be looking out for the EPC work on the data center side outside after June 23. How much work do you expect that you can get in that part of the market?
Sir, if the target of the country is to have 5 gigawatt by 2030, so even if I aim for 5% of it, is good for us. That itself will be no less than 250 megawatt. And my EPC work, even if I take as 20 CR per megawatt, it is 5,000 CR contract from third parties. Apart from our own in-house work of no less than another 5,000 CR, 100 megawatt going at a time down 3 years.
Yeah, so 250 megawatts at a 40 crore run rate is about 10,000 crores. And about, of these, about 6,500 to 7,000 crores is work that you can do internally, right?
Right.
And you'll be making the same 15% margin on this work internally?
Any IT sector company works no less than, per se, it will be ambitious to say for a power sector company to expect 20% plus return, but definitely we like to have 15 plus minus.
Okay.
PC margin.
So the other question which I had was on smart meters. Okay, so if you read international articles on this, the lifetime of a smart meter is very short. It's not more than 5 to 7 years is what you read online. And the capex cost per meter is also pretty large. It's about 9 to 10,000 rupees, which include all the services and infrastructure. Do you think smart metering is viable in a country like India, given the replacement will keep happening after a few years? And do you think because of this, the project can be very slow and it is spread over more than 5 or 10 years?
So you want my opinion as a power professional or as a EPC company?
As a power professional, sir.
You see, if you ask my view, I have always held the view that this is not a desired capex by Government of India, because they need to classify the type of consumers. Any consumer paying a bill of less than 10,000 rupee a month don't deserve a smart meter, you know. You can have a device which can be supplied at a cost of no more than 1,000 rupees and which can have all features of a smart meter other than the remote control. You have to only use the mode of communication, which cannot be RF-based. So it can be Wi-Fi, it can be WhatsApp, it can be email. You can use any other mode of communication, maybe telephony, 5G if it happens, then you have a lot more choices to communicate. And that is what government should think of. Ultimately, a smart meter is required by those who want to monitor the quality and uses of their power. But not for a consumer of 1,000-2,000 rupees, he hardly understands quality of power or uses of power. That is a basic necessity he needs.
Got it. Thank you so much for this. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Tulsian from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I had a couple of follow-up questions. Firstly, on these FGD projects, what we heard from some of the other players is that they had bid for some orders, and because the finalization of orders was delayed and these were fixed price contracts, the final margins may not be coherent with what they had bid for initially. So if you can highlight whether our projects are also of such nature or is there a price variation clause?
Sandeep, firstly, we don't take any order with a maturity of more than 1 year without PV clause as a way of life. So all our orders have PV clause and they fully compensate for any variation in the commodity cycles. In the existing FGD order also and newly backed also. Between you and me. These fixed price orders only happen in private sector, by and large, between you and me. So we have been always discouraging engagements with private sector, by and large, because they have extra involvements, engagements beyond work.
Right.
So as far as we are concerned, we know what we have bidding for, and we will assume no risk more than what is desired to be taken to stay fit in the business.
Can you share more details, sir, which state GenCo these projects are for, what is the configuration and specific value of each of these orders?
Yeah, no issue. Why don't you visit us? Why you ask in a public forum?
And one small follow-up is that so a lot of equipment manufacturing companies are saying that these FGD projects will have a lot of recurring revenue because the wear and tear is very high because they handle the slurry which is very thick and causes damage to the equipment. So from that perspective, will we also have a play in that, or once that EPC income is booked, we don't have any play on the aftermarket side?
Sir, firstly, Techno is a zero manufacturing company. We are purely a solution company on turnkey basis. So equipments are all outsourced by us, number one. But definitely, FGD projects have a O&M involvement for 3 years, post-COD of the projects. But we'll be, when sourcing equipment, we will also have these commitments back-to-back from the suppliers to provide these O&M services free of cost, with spares, with inputs, whatever required. Secondly, I will also share with you that our technology is one of the most proven and best in the world, which is a South Korean technology. And it started from America and now in Korea and they have recently taken over their own holdco in Germany also. So they have become very strong source of technology. Rather, all our competitors want to pitch in to our technology providers as a matter of fact, because world is phasing out. So we are very, being part of this business for last 40 years, we know what is what. So we always engage with boutique companies, best of the best companies, companies of our size and scale who recognize and service us in partnership. And also wear and tear in our technology is no greater than usual in any powerhouse. So our systems are well engineered, they are robust, they are stable in performance. So all these concerns are not relevant, I would say. You can, a winning industry based on experience, sir, you can design a very fragile solution as well as you can have a very robust solution. So it's a matter of your experience and knowledge, how you handle it.
Right. And one final question from my side is on the receivables which were, you know, under suspicion whether we will be able to recover that amount or not. We were sharing an update every quarter how much of that is still pending in our receivable figure what we report. So where is that figure now in this 584 crore debtors, if you can just give an update on that?
Sir, we never had a concern on debtors. Debtors are paid out. We only had a concern on certain investments between you and me.
Sorry, right. Sorry,
correct. So investments also, we are more or less through, sir. If you will see our current year balance sheet, it has come down to no more than 100 crore, and it will be out by the end of this year. By March 23, we'll be out of it.
Okay. Understood. Thank you so much for all the taking all those questions, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you.
Yes, I would like to thank you, all of you, for joining the conference and have a very frank and open discussions with us on all issues related to our business and financials. Still, if you have any query related to any issues on the business we do or related to inner power sector, now called energy sector, you are welcome to drop us a mail or visit our office, and we'll be too happy to receive you and take you through our all processes of carrying out our responsibilities, assignments in a most skilled manner, with no great risk than normal in any business. With that, I would like to close the conference and thank everybody for joining it. Welcome and thank you all of you once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, this concludes the conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.